Bianca versus Seitzinger, Mr. Neal.
Oh my God. Couldn't make it pretty well.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Plaintiff Henry Kiyonka contends that the district court erred in granting summary judgment in this case for two reasons. The first reason is that the court found that in this case the arresting officer had probable cause to arrest Mr. Kiyonka for the offense of assault. We believe that the court erred in reaching that conclusion. In Illinois, an assault occurs when a person engages in conduct that causes reasonable apprehension of a battery. Now, what do we have in this case? We have undisputed that on June 2nd of 2001, Kiyonka turned onto Pine Street in the city of Lawrenceville in his vehicle and was required to stop in the middle of that street because a patrol car blocked his path. While the police officer was moving his vehicle so that the Kiyonka vehicle could pass through, there was a verbal exchange which occurred between Kiyonka and an individual, Burl Shoulders Jr. Now, from that point on, the sole information that we have and on which the court based its determination that probable cause existed came from the complaining victim, Burl Shoulders Jr. At that point, according to Shoulders and Shoulders alone, Mr. Kiyonka rolled down his window, told Mr. Shoulders to have a nice day, that his, quote, and I'm quoting, your ass is mine, USOB, and I'm going to get you.
Now, I don't see how you have a case against the cop here. If the cop relied on what the district attorney.
Because at the time that the officer was purportedly relying upon what the state attorney told him, the state attorney was not acting in his role as an advocate or counselor. In fact, he was acting as an investigator at the same level as Officer Seitzinger.
Well, he has a law degree, doesn't he? So the cop wants to know, is this enough?
In this case,
told, yes it is, go ahead and do it.
This is not a situation where a report was made, filed with the state's attorney's office, and a determination made as to whether or not probable cause existed by the state's attorney. The state's attorney, in this particular instance, was called to the jail, went to the jail, and interviewed the sole complaining witness, just as the police officer would.
But to follow up on Judge Evans, didn't the police officer do just what we want police officers to do? He consults the state's attorney before making an arrest. I mean, shouldn't we be lauding him for his behavior rather than punishing him?
I don't see the issue, Your Honor, as punishing in this case. The question is whether or not both Officer Seitzinger and the state's attorney, and again, our argument is that he was not acting in the role of an advocate or counselor, but both of them, were they faced as a matter of law with facts which would have constituted an assault under the Illinois Criminal Code?
Right, but the police officer doesn't know. He's unsure. So he calls the expert in the field, the state's attorney. What more can we ask of a police officer?
I'm not sure that you can ask more of the police officer. I think perhaps we could ask more of the state's attorney in this case.
Is he still a defendant?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Is he still a defendant?
There was never a criminal charge filed, Your Honor.
Is he still a defendant in your case?
It's the police officer.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor.
Sure.
Yes.
State's attorney.
The state's
attorney.
Both the state's
attorney. Doesn't he have absolute immunity?
No. Based upon our position is, Your Honor, based upon the Klein v. Fletcher decision, in this particular instance, the state's attorney removed himself from the shield of absolute immunity by, in fact, becoming a federal investigator in this case. He went down and interviewed, discussed the matter with the sole complaining witness, Mr. Schultz.
Don't prosecutors typically interview complaining witnesses? Goodness. How do you
sometimes
prepare a case if you don't interview your key witness?
Not for purposes of trial, not for purposes of preliminary hearing, not for purposes of a motion to suppress. This was interviewing a witness to determine whether or not an arrest should be made based upon probable cause. Certainly, prosecutors interview witnesses. But this, Your Honor, is at the initial stage where they are having to decide should there be an arrest.
As Judge Rogner pointed out, and Judge Evans, wouldn't we want the prosecutor, if they had time, wouldn't we want them involved in the arrest stage so you didn't have people arrested on charges that prosecutors wouldn't prosecute?
Whether we would want it or not, I don't think would change what the law is in
regards.
Well,
if you take away their immunity shield, they're not going to do this sort of thing.
All that we are contending, Your Honor, is that the absolute immunity shield would not apply here. In fact, what we are arguing is that the state's attorney is protected only by qualified immunity, just as the arresting officer would be.
What was Kajanka doing in Shoulders Street?
He was trying to go to his friend Bill Higgins' home. Lawrenceville is a city of approximately 5,000 people, a small
community. Is this the most direct route?
It would be one direct, yes. In other words, he was coming up Route 1 and turned right. Mr. Higgins' home was a block or two from that direction. So it was not a remote or what we would say out of the way.
Did Shoulders know why Kajanka was in his street?
Did Shoulders know why he was
yes.
in? Other, no, he would not, other than
well,
he saw
him. Mightn't he think that Kajanka was there to get him?
All of a sudden,
you see your enemy parked outside or stopped outside. Isn't that a little... It would be a very different case, I'm sure you could concede, if Kajanka had come and knocked on Shoulder's door. Don't you think that would be a different case?
If Kajanka had come to Mr. Shoulder's door, pointed his finger at him, got into his face, said,
I'm... Decorate my question.
If he had come to the door and was there face to face, I would say yes, because there was an account. There was.
But now, when Shoulder sees Kajanka in the street, how does he know why Kajanka has suddenly shown up in front of his house?
Well, first of all, Mr. Kajanka did not come to his house, nor do I think it would
no,
be
no. But the question is, what did Shoulders know?
Shoulder
sees his enemy out in front of his house. Now, what is he supposed to think?
Shoulders would not know anything at that point.
Right, so he might think Kajanka was after him.
Except, Your Honor, I would only add to this the fact that the patrol car is the reason why Kajanka had to stop in the first place.
But Shoulders know that.
Yes. Shoulders was... knew that the officer was there, of course, that the car was parked in the middle of the street. The officer was assisting Shoulders in getting a car door unlocked.
And all of a sudden, Kajanka appears.
All of a sudden, Kajanka appears. That's correct. Here, I believe I've taken up my time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blair?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Joe Blyer. I'm here on behalf of the officer, Michael Seitzinger, in this case, and we're asking this court to affirm...
Pretty skimpy case, isn't it? Why would Shoulders feel in jeopardy when there's a policeman right there?
Your Honor, because, I mean, the assault was you're in imminent fear of some kind of harmful... battery to yourself. And
well,
Shoulders,
there's a policeman standing right there. Why would you be in fear?
I think if you know the players of the Kajanka and Peanut, or Mr. Shoulders, I'm sorry.
No, we don't. So we'd like to. But
that the parties involved, that you would seem to think that they would, there would be some, it's reasonable to believe that some, there's some fear that this man would have when Kiyonka made the statement that the shoulders relied or told to the police officer.
What makes it kind of odd is Shoulders apparently had been stalking Kiyonka, so by his own conduct, he would make him anxious that he might be attacked.
That is correct.
Could it provoke assault?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Well, isn't it sort of? Didn't Shoulders behave provocatively
on the day of the occurrence?
No, before then.
Your Honor, if the record shows that the interaction between these two men was before he was elected the first time, Kiyonka was, then he was hired on as a employee of the city of Lawrenceville.
Right, he was the dog catcher. He apparently didn't catch enough dogs, and he's fired, and then he starts stalking Kiyonka.
That is what's alleged in the record, Your Honor, right, by Mr. Kiyonka. Mr. Kiyonka says that in the record, that there was a stalking by Mr. Shoulders. There's nothing in the record to say that Shoulders, in fact, was stalking Kiyonka during the their relationship between the two of them.
Ever heard of two people stalking each other?
And Your Honor, we should have brought the parties, but you would appreciate it more because if you met them, you would your question would probably have more meaning than you might think it does.
You couldn't make this up, you know?
No, we did not make it up.
I mean, you couldn't, so of course you didn't.
That is correct. I think my light's on for 5 minutes, unless there's any other questions.
Well, okay, thank you, Mr. Flair. Mr.
Thank
Cook?
You. May it please the court, my name is James Cook, and I represent State's Attorney Todd Reitz. Indeed, Mr. Reitz did what he should have done that morning, and Officer Seitzinger did what he should have done. There was communication between the two of them. Care was taken before this arrest was made.
Here's I'm not even sure of what my problem is, but it seems to me that a lawyer in his position should know off the bat that words alone almost never constitute criminal conduct. Was there something more that we are really missing here?
It's in the record, and District Judge Gilbert commented upon it, and that was there were the independent observations made by Officer Seitzinger at the scene. He recognized from what he saw, not what he heard, he recognized that Mr. Shoulders seemed to feel threatened, appeared to be agitated in some distress over whatever was said. It's not a case where where the plaintiff had suddenly appeared and said nothing and done nothing. He actually drove his car up to where Mr. Shoulders was. Without getting out of his car, he uttered something that Mr. Shoulders felt was a threat, and that's what Officer Seitzinger observed.
Has there ever been a case in Illinois as an assault case as thin as this one?
I'm sure there have been. Whether they're reported or not, I wouldn't know. As far as being a thin case, from the standpoint of an arrest, Your Honor, I would not say that it's a thin case. Obviously,
you can't arrest unless you have probable cause to think a crime has been committed.
From the standpoint of actual prosecution, which my client, Mr. Reitz, recused himself from, the special prosecutor, the independent prosecutor, determined that he didn't want to prosecute it for whatever his reasons were. In that,
well, one reason would be that it just didn't violate. It was just not an assault under Illinois law. That question is whether any case has gone as far as this?
Well, the defendants do not concede that Illinois law requires something more than mere words.
What does it require?
It requires that the victim, the so-called victim of the crime, be placed in reasonable apprehension of a battery. And from the
it doesn't have to be imminent?
I don't believe it has to be at that very moment.
Well, what if Kianka says, I'm going to get you in 10 years?
That's a factor that has to be taken into consideration.
Well, what does that mean? It has to be that's a fuzzy answer. Is that an assault or not?
I would suggest, Your Honor, that could be, depending on the total circumstances.
Really? What do you mean total circumstances? Suppose it's the identical case, but he says, I'm going to get you in 10 years.
If there was a pre-existing...
Look, it's the case. We have the case. I'm saying the only thing that's different is, instead of saying, I'm going to get you, it says, I'm going to get you in 10 years.
I think that would be something that has to be measured
in determining probable cause. You're not answering my question. Is that an assault or is that not an assault?
I believe it could be, Your Honor, yes.
What do you mean it could be? It either is or it isn't.
I believe it is.
You think that's an assault?
Yes, sir, I do.
Do you have any support from that
in Illinois,
or other case law?
I do not have any case law that says that. I've not seen a case like that. I believe my time
there is up. There's that one parish by Boker and Donahue at 443 Northeast 2nd that's a 1982 Illinois appellate court case that says with respect to civil liability, an assault can be defined as an intentional unlawful offer of corporal injury by force under such circumstances as create a well-founded fear of imminent peril. And there's one Illinois court that appears to have read an imminence requirement into the statute, and that's SNF Corporation versus Daly, and that's at 376 Northeast 2nd at 699. I don't know if that adds anything, but there are those cases out there.
The statute, I don't believe, requires imminent
but
peril.
It's very odd because the common law of assaults, the civil liability, of course you have to have a gesture and it has to be imminent. It would be odd to have a criminal statute that vastly expanded the scope of civil liability, wouldn't it?
I think that is a concern, yes, and I agree. It is, I wouldn't call it odd, but it is something to be considered. Those aren't the
Does
facts.
Does Illinois have
case.
A threat statute?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Cook. Mr. Neal, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Two points, Your Honors. First of all, the district court did rely upon a finding that the officer Seitzinger made independent observation of events, which he believes contributed to a finding of probable cause. It's our position, Your Honor, that in fact, Officer Seitzinger observed no events relating to the elements of the assault for which probable cause had to be found. All that Officer Seitzinger observed was Mr. Kianka in his vehicle, the vehicle coming to arrest, and a verbal exchange. He did not hear any of the words actually spoken by Mr. Kianka. In fact, all that Seitzinger heard were the words spoken by Mr. Shoulders. The second point is, Your Honor, I believe that the defendants have stated that there were not police reports on file or on record concerning Mr. Shoulders, Peanut Shoulders. Mr. Peanut Shoulders' lack of trustworthiness was well known throughout Lawrenceville and Lawrence County. He was a notorious felon who had on repeated occasions made false accusations against Mr. Kianka.
Is he small, as his name implies? Is he tiny?
No, he is not, although he is not large. But unfortunately, Your Honor, in this community, he has been a threatening menace. And the chief of police of the city of Lawrenceville submitted to the state's attorney reports of harassment and threats made by Mr. Shoulders, and the state's attorney did nothing. In fact, instead, he let him walk around in his campaign for state's attorney wearing one of his T-shirts.
Now, what does it mean? I gather there are allegations that Shoulders was scamming on his dog catcher duties. What was that about?
He was purportedly catching dogs for which fee was paid,
and he was
not doing that.
So you're paid by the number of dogs.
And Mr. Kanaka made a mistake in thinking that Peanut Shoulders could be reformed through public employment. It didn't work out. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Unless there's other questions.
Thank you very much to all counsel.